You should be lucky.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Like I picked the wrong week to quit drinking.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Wait, I think he's offering us a beer. Yes, we would like a beer.
All right.
Okay. All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Welcome to Big Foamy Head, the beer scavenger hunt show.
And on the third take, Martin gets it right.
Yay!
Golf clap.
The only requirement for the beer scavenger hunt, as far as we care, is that we find beer.
Right. And Mike said, wait a minute. You got to have a clue with the scavenger hunt. So here's the clue. Bring back something that's made of beer.
And not from a major piss beer brewer.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Now, yellow fizzy beer.
Even though I didn't mention that, and none of us did. So we went out, we got this, and just to see what people would bring back. And so we got a medley of beers here. And
but first, do we not have to do our corrections and errata?
We do, because new segment, because although we screw up a lot and are proud of it, and we never I guess we admit to it, that yeah. Now we're going to actually make the effort to correct our mm-hmm. screw-up. So here's the new Big Foamy Head segment, Corrections and Errata. At Big Foamy Head, we make a lot of mistakes. This is our attempt to correct them.
Rick went to Washington State, not Wisconsin.
The skipper on Gilligan's Island was played by Alan Hale Jr., not Nathan Hale.
The IPA we couldn't remember was Telemark IPA.
More Gilligan corrections. Russell Johnson was a professor. Natalie Schaefer played Mrs. Howe. And Tina Louise, Don Wells, and Russell Johnson are all still alive.
And finally, we neglected to mention our friend Captain Hops from Beer Haiku Daily, who provided the beer haiku we read.
Oh, man, that's a weight off our shoulders.
I feel so much better. It's like penance.
Well, all those nasty emails and all those nasty phone calls. I mean, our poor secretary, she just couldn't handle all the nasty phone calls.
I think she's going to have a nervous breakdown here. And so the noise in the background you hear is our show snacks. We're bringing them back.
Yeah.
And this show snack is, what is this, onion souffle dip. And
with chocolate marshmallows on top.
Chocolate and marshmallows is a vital part of any dip.
Well, you got to have your sugar, your carbohydrates, and your protein, yeah. And that covers it all.
It's dessert mixed in. You don't have to screw around and wait or get up and go anywhere.
It's a three-course meal all in one.
Right. Good stuff. The beers that we went out and scavenged, we have several. We have the Rogue Dead Guy Ale, which I picked up, Bad Elf, which Trey picked up, Prankster, which Martin picked up, and last but not least is Mike's as yet to be named Imperial Stout, which he picked up off the shelf here and put in the refrigerator. So he did not scavenge far. So, and each of these has a little bit of a story possibly behind it. Which one are we going to start off with? I will tell you this: Bad Elf and Dead Guy are the IPAs. Prankster is a Belgian strong pale ale, and Mike's Imperial Stout is, oddly enough, an Imperial Stout. So, Prankster, lead off.
By me.
Sounds okay. That's good.
All right, so Mike, if you'll grab a couple of bottles, and we'll give a little background on Prankster. Martin, what's that on your beer?
Well, on Beer Advocate's overall score, it was given an 86, which is recommended. Which is, I think, a fairly decent score for this beer. We had it as our pre-beer show beer. And found it to be quite tasty. Let's see, the review average is 3.92. Total of 428 reviews.
There's a lot of reviews.
Yes. And what I was really proud of is, out of the box, it's 7.6% alcohol by volume.
Yeah, and that's not a bad ABV. This is like we were talking about last time. 7.5, 8.5 is, that's a good. That's a good number. I think you can drink several of these if you are a professionally trained drinker. And, 7 or 8,
9.
You don't want to overdo it.
Maybe throw in one if you're a little extra thirsty.
You didn't mention your criteria for why you chose this beer.
Well, first of all, I know nothing about beer. I mean, I know you guys have me here just because I look good for podcasts.
You're just eye life. Candy. That's the I'm only reason we bring you here.
I have a face for podcasting.
Yes, you do.
And the other thing is I have a little bit of taste, and you guys have the mistaken impression that I'm gay. So.
It's all about diversity. It's pretend diversity.
My two kids would tend to disagree
might,
with you.
They might disagree.
Anyways, along with this taste thing that we just discussed, this Prankster is a good tasting beer, just like me.
Yes, you yourself are a good tasting beer, but what you told me, I'm sure in complete and utter confidence, was I bought this beer because I like the label.
No longer with confidence in you, Dick.
I promise you, Martin, I will not tell anybody that it was just because you liked it. No, it is kind of a cool little label. You know, the first time I saw this, it reminded me of the opening of Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
It's got like that
picture.
That kind of like period piece sort of deal.
The black and white.
Yeah. Lithograph looking deal.
You got a big cask of beer in there.
Well, the reason why I got it, truthfully, is that it's a Belgian ale.
Mm-hmm.
A strong pale ale. I'm kind of, fond of the ales, the pale ales especially. I've always had a fondness for it, and I thought this would be a good time to try this. As you mentioned, we haven't done this one ever.
Well, no, we did, but it's been a long time.
Oh, okay. I thought you said we did the brewery, but not the...
No, well, North Coast, actually, we've done both. And North Coast, we've had several of their offerings, but the Prankster has been quite a while, and it's nice to have this again. This is a very good, easy drinking beer.
It's good beer. Where'd you find it?
At our local liquor store here in Collierville, liquor store.
So if you can find it here in Collierville, I'm trying to think of the politically correct way to say it. It's not Memphrica. So Prankster, Belgian strong pale ale, and this is not really, when you hear the word strong, you think of something that's going to like burn or something. It's not. It's a great drinking beer.
I'm almost tempted to say this is a dessert beer.
I can see that. Yeah. It's got a little sweetness with the Belgian, the Belgian sugars, and a little bit of spice,
and you've got the apple entry or the nasal.
That's what you had said. The smell, the nose to nose sounds so much better than nasal.
he's spitting beer everywhere.
The nasal inflection of the beer.
Just came out the nasal passages.
Yeah, it goes down a lot easier than it comes up, doesn't it? But the nose up, though, you said, I smell apples. And I thought, well, there's something you don't hear all the time with beer. You get citrus and grapefruit and stuff. And when I first smelled it, I said, yeah, you know what? You're right. I did get a little apples. It's like a little, and I think part of it's those notes, the spice notes, too, with like the cinnamon and stuff like that.
It's like a cider kind of smell, just a little bit.
Yeah, cider.
I think that's a lot of the alcohol, that sweetness coming from the alcohol.
Uh-huh. But it's good.
It's an excellent beer. I liked it right up there with that Brooklyn chocolate that we had.
Yeah,
yeah. That's right there with it.
Okay, well, keep that in mind because there's something later on that we're going to have to bring up, not finish, but bring up on this show. We'll finish down the road.
And, folks, this is not rehearsed. So
this is completely unrehearsed. Sort of. Okay. So Prankster, good beer. And we've got several more beers coming. We've got beer news that we're getting better every time. We're getting better. And I do want to say, I do want to mention, this was something that beer news has kind of evolved. We started this off originally with our friend Rick Like from like2drink.blogspot.com. That's L-Y-K-E, the number 2, drink.blogspot.com. And are indebted to him for kind of getting us started down this road. Rick has gotten more and more busy. He's on the road all the time, as are we. It's just been very difficult for us to get with him and continue doing beer news. But I would refer everyone, visit his site often.
What does he do for a living?
He is a beer journalist.
Really?
Beer and spirits, and he works with advertising agencies. He's published, I believe he's now writing for... We're going to have to ask him. One of the beer publications. He's just all over the place, though. Mm-hmm. And he is a big proponent of the First Friday Beer series that a lot of the beer bloggers are doing. Uh-huh. So check out his site. And again, thanks to Rick for getting us started on this road. And we're trying to carry it best we can. And hopefully we'll get Rick to drop back into some guest spots down the road. So stay tuned. We're going to have a little break here. We'll be right back.
Please be your slave when I'm dead and gone. I'm gonna rise up from the grave for your sweet jelly roll, the best jelly roll in town. You're the only man baking, and I'm gonna keep my damper down. Where can I place an order for 3 weeks ahead? I'd rather have my jelly than some old big bread, cause I'm crazy about that jelly, the best jelly roll in town. You're the only man making, and I'm gonna keep your damper down. Oh, I'm a jelly roll baker. I bake the best jelly roll in town. I'm the only man baking, and I'm gonna keep my damper down. I'm the only man baking, and I'm gonna keep my damper down.
That was Joe Bonamassa, one of our new favorites. That guy's good. I mean, he is
awesome.
He's kind of getting a little bit of notice, finally. Not too much. Mm-hmm. You don't want too much. That's what wrecks him. So the song was Jelly Roll. And usually he's real electric and like super, you know, fast guitar playing, really, really talented. So this is a little more traditional. So here is the test question. What's a jelly roll? There's all kinds of blues songs about jelly rolls.
True.
What is a jelly roll?
Well, Dick, why don't you tell
us? I'm asking
me
if you know.
Me and a hooker in a sleeping bag.
A jelly roll is the tingly parts of a woman.
Oh.
So, the naughty bulbous parts.
So, can you explain what that means?
If you listen to the song, he says, I'm a baker, a jelly roll maker. So what does that make him?
He's a big dick.
He's a pimp.
Oh, okay.
A jelly roll is also a profession. Could be a professional woman. It kind of alternates depending on the song that you listen to.
Google jelly roll and see what you get.
It'll be like a Little Debbie snack cake.
Yeah.
I will. Oh, wait, we'll pull it up. See if I'm right. So we're on to our next beer. And this is Bad Elf. Trey, what are we? You got your sheet there in front of you. What are we drinking?
It's got 85 rating. Never really heard of it before. Just kind of saw it at the store and picked it up. It's not bad. 6% alcohol.
Okay.
What kind of? It's a winter release.
It's an English India Pale Ale, and I wanted to have this first for a reason. Okay, so we have IPA. So it's an English pale ale. It's from England by Ridgeway Brewing, and I think it says the Shelton Brothers or something on the side of the bottle. But there's a story about Bad Elf. They have a number of Bad Elves. This is the just Bad Elf. They also have Seriously Bad Elf and Arrogant Bad Elf or some kind of all these just different Bad Elves. And in 2005 in Connecticut, all of the Bad Elves, which have this very interesting label of a little cartoon elf drinking a beer or something, pulled from all the shelves. They were banned because they thought it would lead children to drinking. Now, really? Connecticut, just like everywhere else, requires IDs. So I'm pretty sure a picture of an elf and an 8-year-old trying to buy a bottle of beer.
Before this comes in, the ruling on the bad elf is you as an adult buy a 6-pack or a 12-pack and bring it home, put it in the fridge. The kids walk into the fridge and open up and go, wow, an elf. That's got to be good, you know.
It's got to be Kool-Aid.
It's got to be cool, you know.
Daddy or Jesus juice.
Yeah. So next thing you know, you got 11. Next thing you know, you got 11-year-olds running around drinking bad elf. So.
Okay. And that could happen. Okay. I didn't think that far.
It says on the side of the bottle, 3 pounds of fresh hops in every barrel.
Yeah.
That's a lot of hops.
Not in a barrel.
But I'm not getting a lot.
I'm not getting
a lot. No, you're
either.
Not, because this is an English IPA. Yeah. Exactly. Now, there's some hop. I mean, you can taste a little bit of dryness and a little bit of hop, but that's
smooth.
The whole. It's smooth. It's not a bad drinking beer. Unlike our Prankster, which is very smooth, but a little towards the malty, sweet side. Good drinking beer.
I love it.
But you wouldn't think hops when you drink. It's okay versus this, where it's just a mild hop note. And that's the English style.
Yeah. And I can taste the hops, yes.
Okay. But it's not overwhelming. It's not in your face or anything. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the English style IPA. And our next beer is going to be a little more interesting. It kind of Americanized it. So the Bad Elf, pretty good. I'm enjoying this. And I wanted to reach back to the start of the show with I'm continuing to try to do the little music and beer-related sound effect intro. And I decided to sacrifice quality for quantity. I'm just going to just grab whatever I can and throw it in there. But did you heard the underlying music? And what was that?
I didn't come here to be quizzed.
It's
this
good
is like a third or fourth quiz.
I know.
Stop it.
But you got to know. I'm trying to educate you. Beer is an educational device.
Oh,
no,
man.
You heard it, and I said, hey, y'all know that song, and y'all go, oh, yeah.
I got it right here on
my
tongue.
That's beer is a dumbing effect, okay?
Beer makes you smarter, stronger, and able to dance better.
No, it just makes women look better, and you stupider.
Well, that's true. That's the side effects.
Yes. But
I know them. I know the song. I
it's
know the song.
The Boomtown Rats.
There you go, Boomtown Rats.
Boomtown Rats. And old Bob Geldof did the Farm Aid and all that. And he hadn't done anything now. I mean, he's just gone. He's all completely.
He's out spending his money.
He's been drinking beer.
I bet he has. And see, this is topical because he's English. Uh-huh. It's an English IPA.
Yeah.
I'm bringing that up. See? Had a little naked baby swimming in the water, and then Kurt Cobain and Nirvana stole it later. Exact same album cover, different title. The bastards. The uncreative bastards. Good riddance to him. Should have used a shotgun earlier.
You know, this show has just gone all over the place. I don't think I've seen a coherent. Have we been drinking much longer than I thought we had?
This is only the fifth beer.
What was the chick?
Oh, okay. Well, see, that's a problem.
What was the chick that was supposed to commit suicide with him? She should have, too.
Courtney.
Yeah, she should have, too.
Yeah. I think she might have let her. Kurt, here, let me hold that gun for you. Bam!
Don't worry.
Whoops.
Don't worry. I'll do it to myself next. Don't worry.
You
don't
first.
Worry. Show me how it's done.
That's right. Rules for life. If you're involved in a multi-suicide pack, don't go first.
Don't go first. No. Because I guarantee you, when you see those brains on the wall, you'll think different.
You may have second thoughts.
That's right.
So, the Bad Elf, I'm on the fence about that.
It's all right.
I didn't really get a lot of alcohol. I mean, it says 6%. That was good. Now, what's on the label? It's just an elf. What's he doing? Oh, okay. He's like wiggling his finger like,
Come here, little child. Come here, little child.
Yeah, come here, little boy.
Drink me.
That's what the Connecticut Attorney General thinks.
Do you think that might have had something to do with it? Maybe we should have like little kids drinking it and grinning real big. That was the other label. But okay.
Now, do you suppose Nirvana is going to steal this label too?
Yeah, that's right. For their next album.
Yeah.
The greatest hit of Nirvana.
Yeah.
It's a 45. A-side and a B-side. Okay, so we need to get on to beer news.
It's time for Big Foamy Head Beer Witness News. The latest breaking, hop-hitting, no-holds-barred coverage of the malt and barley world. Sit back, crack a cold one, and get ready for...
This is an A1 4-alarm red, white, and blue alert.
Beer News.
On our continuing coverage of the beer wars, the Heineken Carlsberg initiative to take over Scottish and Newcastle seems to be less about the Newcastle brand, as reported last week, than their stake in Baltic Beverages, makers of Baltica, which we have enjoyed in this very show. Swedish court is likely to take until June or July of next year to rule on Scottish and Newcastle's attempt to make Carlsberg sell its half of the Baltic Beverages holding. And here's the deal. Scottish and Newcastle, Newcastle Brewery, had a 50-50 partnership with Carlsberg on owning Baltic Beverages. And why is this important? Well, they're kind of pissed off because Carlsberg is the world's fifth largest brewer by volume. They've joined forces with Heineken, who's the fourth largest, to bid for the Scottish and Newcastle, which is the sixth largest, take the whole thing, which gets Baltic Beverages, which is the number one distributor in Russia and associated territories like Uzbekistan, Afghanistan. Or
now, you say they're a distributor.
Baltic is
a distributor, or are they a brewer?
No, they're the brewer.
They're a brewer.
I think they're both.
Okay.
So last week, Carlsberg and Heineken raised their proposed bid 750 pence from last month's 720 pence, which of course pissed off everybody at Scottish and Newcastle. They're saying that's basically half of what they're worth, but there's still $15 billion. It's a hell of a lot of money. After the first approach, S&N gave notice to Carlsberg of a possible breach of the agreement. That's that 50-50 agreement, which has a conditional offer that it triggers the shotgun agreement that allows either party to buy the other out. So this means that Scottish and Newcastle can launch their own takeover of Carlsberg. They haven't done that yet. We'll see. And Dunsmore, Chief Scottish and Newcastle, John Dunsmore, said no formal talks have been yet held with Carlsberg and Heineken because they're pissed at them. Mm-hmm. Fast-growing BBH is seen as a jewel in the crowns of both S&N and Carlsberg custody battle. As it controls more than 85% of Baltica, the biggest brewer in Russia, the world's third largest beer market. You never think about that. Who drinks the most beer?
I'll tell you what I'd really like to see is, where does Heineken come into this? Because people know Heineken over here in the States, and where is Heineken in this game?
And you notice it's not mentioned in this article. They're throwing everything out. Well, Heineken, I think, is the bank. Mm-hmm. Their money. They're just ponying up and doing this deal with Carlsberg to see what they can get.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of stuff, you know, out there in the international territory, but we have some troubles here at home with some brewers.
Yes, we do. Most of the people out there will know the name Dixie Beer. Right now, they're struggling to recover from the Hurricane Katrina down in New Orleans. Here's the story from New Orleans. The old brick building where Dixie Beer was brewed before Hurricane Katrina is vacant. More than 2 years after the storm flooded it and looters devastated it, the building with its looming tower and ornate iron gates is gutted and surrounded by padlock fences. Of the 13 beers that were once brewed in New Orleans, Dixie became the last major independent brewer in the Deep South. Once the city's favorite beer, living up to its slogan, "Around here, it's Dixie Beer," demanded fell in 1975 after fumes from a chemical used to clean floors tainted the beer's flavor. The bad batch haunted Dixie's reputation long after the brew was back to normal. By the time the Brunos bought the company back from Neil Kay, Jr. in 1986, the brewery was almost $14 million in debt. Kay had bankruptcy papers drawn up and was ready to file if the sale fell through. To compete with the craft beers, they developed Blackened Voodoo Lager, a dark beer and jazz amber light. They also produced a desert beer.
That would be dessert. Although, you could drink it in a desert.
Where's the desert in Louisiana? Right?
Oh, that's
right.
Lordy.
That's right. Searing temperatures of the Louisiana desert.
Take three. They also produced a dessert beer, White Mousse, with a taste of white chocolate. Man, I bet that's damn good.
And there's a little piece of mousse in every bottle.
And you can probably find that mousse out on the desert somewhere.
It's a rare desert mousse. Dixie. They're thin.
Would that be considered an endangered species?
It will be.
It could be soon. Dixie was producing just under 50,000 barrels of beer a year with national distribution, and things were looking up until Katrina storm surge smashed levees and poured salty water into 80% of New Orleans on August 29th of 05. The floodwaters took almost 3 weeks to recede. Bottling and packaging equipment was ruined. Carefully collected memorabilia was destroyed. The loss was in the millions, and the couple did not have flood insurance. Boy, that sucks.
Yeah, it does. That's right. I read that as I thought, and did not have flood insurance.
Why would you
and
not
where,
have flood insurance?
Where do you live?
In your Louisiana.
In a hole. In a hole in Louisiana.
You live next to a levee to keep flood waters away. You'd think that wouldn't be an option.
You know, I bet they can't. I almost bet you can't get it down
there. Not now you can't.
Yeah. Well, yeah, not now. But and this isn't the first time it happened either. So, okay.
Well, anyway, the building was left with gaping holes through which looters carried away everything from the wiring and the giant copper vat where the beer was brewed to the cypress barrels where it was stored. Dixie was shut down. After Katrina, the Brunos tried brewing at a small brewery near New Orleans, but it couldn't produce in quantity. So a deal was worked out with Huber Brewing, a Canadian-owned brewery in Monroe, Wisconsin, to produce Dixie. Wow, can you imagine that, brewing Dixie beer up above the Mason-Dixon line?
Yep, brewing it in Wisconsin at a Canadian brewer.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Dixie is being distributed again in Louisiana, Massachusetts, Illinois, and Colorado. Plans are to expand to Texas, Florida, and New York, and eventually into the international market. So far, the production can't keep up with demand. But after a two-year absence, attracting fans, again, is going to be difficult. According to Steve Hendy, founder of Brooklyn Brewery in Brooklyn, New York, Black and Voodoo was in a lot of restaurants in New York and specialty bars. But things have changed a lot since Dixie disappeared. The beer business is much more competitive now.
So they're screwed.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, they were shut down for 2 years.
Just a victim of bad luck.
Bad luck, and no they insurance. Couldn't bring it back, and no insurance. But the thing was, these guys, the Brunos, that bought it, they picked it up. It's basically a fire sale. Yeah. Somebody buy it, or we're out of business.
Right.
And it said, I think they were like one of the last local brewers, and that they don't mention Abita, mm-hmm. who we had last show, because Abita is not a New Orleans beer. It's down the road a little bit.
Right.
But you can still get, and I saw this when I was there, you can still get Dixie, Black, and Voodoo. But it's not, it's just not the same.
I never liked Dixie beer.
Well, did you have the Black and Voodoo?
Never had.
No, never did.
See, that's different.
Yeah.
Dixie beer was pretty much a basic lager type
yellow
beer.
Fizzy beer.
But New York, you know, what you were talking about within New York, and this is a Brooklyn brewer saying mm-hmm. this. They made a good beer. It was found in kind of niche restaurants, and yep, no more. So, you know, when you think of New Orleans, you think of really good food, and our resident chef and purveyor of fine cuisine, Martin, is going to bring us the food corner.
Yes, Dick, I appreciate you giving me this fluff piece.
Yeah, well, you are the local fluffer, so why not? It's right up your alley. And I don't mean anything derogatory by your alley.
Yes, Dick, I know where you live.
It's too easy.
Yeah, it is. All right.
Speaking of too easy, here's Martin.
You know, I'm never going to open up to you guys ever again.
That's what she said.
And she was right. Anyways, Susan Middledorf of Toledo, Ohio has won the Spamalot contest. I didn't know there was such a thing.
Apparently, yeah. You know, in Toledo, Ohio, apparently there is.
Anyway, she won it with her beer-driven entry of Spambalaya.
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 And that is the correct pronunciation of Spam.
It is. Spambalaya.
Spambalaya. To make it rhyme with jambalaya, as opposed to Spambalaya.
Uh-huh. I bet that sucks.
Well, Martin brought up a good point. This would probably be a lot better with real sausage.
That was just my first take on it. Anyway,
yeah, it's like, why would you want to put Spam in? It's like, to win the tickets to Spam.
Anyways, I'll just go and go forward with this while you guys are having a tremendous amount of fun.
So, hey, Martin, what's for supper?
Spambalaya. Anyways, the ingredients are, and I quote, 2 cups of chopped onions, 2 cups of green pepper chopped, 1 teaspoon of minced garlic, 2 teaspoons of olive oil, 2 pounds of kielbasa, 2 bay leaves.
It got a little real meat in it.
2 teaspoons of chili powder, 1 teaspoon of thyme.
Thyme.
If you're a real American, it's thyme. If you're Southern, it's thyme. 1 teaspoon of cayenne pepper.
If you're
or
in Memphis, give me your watch, damn it.
It's cayenne if you're down in Louisiana.
It's time for you to give me your wallet.
Yes. 1/4 cup of fresh parsley, 3 cups of rice, 3 cups of chicken broth, and this is my favorite entry, 2 cups of Guinness.
Yay, Guinness.
Wow. Yeah.
And one 12-ounce can of Spam cut into pieces.
There you go. Okay.
Would that not be ground Spam?
I don't even know why you'd have to cut it up. Yeah. I mean, it's going to break up when you cook it.
Chunk up, okay. Yeah.
The instructions
dissolve into a slime after you cook it.
The instructions are: you mix it all together, cook it, and then drink the Guinness.
Yeah.
No, that's quite incorrect. The correct instructions are: saute the onions, green peppers, and garlic in olive oil in a large pot. Add kielbasa and spices, including parsley, until all ingredients are fragrant.
Okay.
Kind of like anyways. Something add fragrant. Rice and stir to coat. Pour broth and beer. Ooh. Right. Over the mixture and add Spam.
So it's chicken and Guinness.
Yep. Bring the pot to a boil.
Okay.
Then reduce heat to low, cover and cook until all liquid is absorbed and rice is tender, about 35 minutes. Remove any bay leaves, season taste, and serve. And try to ignore all the laughter.
You know when said the word...
That sounds good except for the Spam.
When he said the word kielbasa, it reminded me of back when Stern came on cable late night, you remember, years ago? Yeah.
And the Howard Stern Show.
They had a kielbasa queen contest, and they had these girls on there. They were slupping down these pieces of kielbasa that were about 15 to 18 inches long.
What were they doing with
them? And they were putting whipped cream on the end of them, and they were putting them down their mouths all the way down to their belly holes. You know, it was pretty impressive.
Oh, these are like kielbasa sword swallowers,
yes.
Sort of. Well, this sounds pretty good, Martin. I mean, I guess you could bypass the Spam, maybe throw in a different kind of sausage or something.
That's what she said.
Yes. Throw me a different sausage, please.
What's that old saying? Why does a woman want to, I won't go on.
Yeah, don't go there. Yeah,
because sheep can't cook.
Right.
Okay. So don't even go there.
Hey, you're the one laying your soul out on the show.
I know. That opened an ugly door we thought we'd nail shut long ago.
Are we sure you're not doing the Halloween show right
just
now?
Just don't bring the nuns.
Those horrors.
The Spambalaya, though, I saw that. And this, I thought, was it's topical. It follows from New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And
you just wanted to embarrass me.
It's got beer in it.
Yeah, can't be all bad.
That's got to be good. Well, I think we should make this for next show.
You think so?
I think we should try it. Give it
even
a fair
with the
shot.
Spam in it?
Maybe not. Maybe we'll substitute meat for Spam. It's a thought. But it sounds, it sounds good. I thought it sounded really good. I think maybe some andouille or boudin or some kind of Cajun sausage put in there as opposed to Spam. Sounds good. Okay.
So, I've got a deer coming into my yard. Maybe I can kill him before the next show. And we'll
didn't
try
you murder
him.
A deer?
I'm working on him.
Okay.
I'm poisoning his feed.
Yeah.
That's right. Let's cut up the poisoned deer and eat it. What could possibly go wrong?
The poison goes away. You never know it.
I'm looking at the clock, and people have had to sustain more than 20 minutes of us, which is about redlining it.
What kind of music are you going to play?
We'll pick one. Here's Mike's pick.
I've got one more.
suburb of Memphis, whatever.
All right, so I just got through fussing and bitching about we gotta quit being local because it doesn't hold any meaning for this
true
vast global audience we
but
have.
But I don't know. We might have some people hooked on Memphis.
But
you know,
there is something.
Know what's going on.
Well, but see, Trey just brought out something local that we should be proud of and promote.
It's
because obviously and judging by the way. Basically, we talk and read the news and say time. We're definitely at the ass end of the educational system.
Yeah, if you had to give an enema, where would you put it?
That's right, Memphis.
Memphis.
But, but we are now moving ahead.
Yeah.
And Trey,
you need that song track. Moving on up.
Keep singing, Mike. The microphone's on. Keep on to the east side.
When did this become a karaoke
gonna
show?
Gonna get a piece of the pie.
And he's seesawed just full of laughter and happiness because Trey just made him happy. That Memphis has taken. We're almost in first place. We're now number two, right?
Now we dropped down
we
from
dropped
number
down
one.
We were number
Detroit
one.
Detroit surged ahead. We're
Detroit,
the number two most violent city in the nation.
Yay.
No, we're still number one in bankruptcies and murders. Yeah. So, you know.
Number two in murders and rapes, number one in your heart.
What's our next beer, Dick?
Our next beer is Rogue Dead Guy, which you can get pretty much anywhere.
Hey, you know, when I went down to Jackson, Mississippi, who is... pretty much high
there's
on
that
the,
all, there's that whole literacy schedule.
Yeah. Who is pretty high on the list
Although
of murders.
I knew exactly what you were saying. I'm just nodding.
They're in that upper echelon of murder cities around the country. And
Jackson, Mississippi.
Jackson, Mississippi.
See, I illiteracy, education, yeah. Murder, I just don't think of them as that.
Well, I don't blame you.
I'll let you also know that Jackson, Mississippi is also the nation's smallest capital city.
Wow.
Really?
I didn't know that.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I went to a place called the Bulldog, which you went to in New Orleans.
That's the one we referred to last show.
And they had Dead Guy Ale on tap.
And that's what I think you can find Dead Guy a lot of places. We have it on tap locally.
Flying Saucer?
At Flying Saucer, at a number of restaurants, actually, because the Dead Guy is not a high alcohol beer. It's only 6.5%, which
really?
actually I think they kind of lie on the label, or at least in the stores, because it's 0.5% over. It should be in liquor stores, but you can buy this at grocery stores here in Memphis. So, and Dead Guy, it's good, easy drinking beer. I had said something. This is curious, and I looked to see if there was a ruling on whether this was an ale or a lager. Now, it's called Dead Guy Ale, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the type is the Sabak beer, which typically is brewed lager style with bottom fermenting yeast, which ales, lagers bottom, ales tops.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I still don't know. I still don't know. It says in here the style is a Maybach or a Hellesbach beer, but to me it drinks and it's got a little bit more bite to it, just a little bit more than what we were drinking earlier, the Bad Elf, which is an IPA. And this is supposed to be a Bock, but I think you could probably find it classified as something else. It's got a little bit of hop, not overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But this, I like this because it's got a nice blend of malts and hops.
Yeah, when I drink it, I don't get a lager taste at all. Do you?
Well, don't you have a connection at Stone Brewery? Can you not call them and ask them?
Yeah, if they get pissed off, I call asking about Rogue beer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a different brewery.
Oh, I thought this was that much Stone.
Now, you're thinking of the beer you almost bought. That was Stone.
Stone IPA.
Oh, okay.
Or the Arrogant Bastard. Yeah. Or
one of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now, the Rogue Dead Guy, and we've had this before. It's been a long time since we had this, but it's Oregon brewed. And
it's California.
Good stuff. Yeah, it's close. Okay,
very good beer.
You're right coast.
Hey, if you talk to anybody in Oregon, they say California's taking over anyway. So
taking over Oregon?
Yes.
Is there like some big feud that we don't know about here?
Well, it's just that all the California.
Are we going to go down to 49 states?
No, it's kind of like whites from California are going up to Oregon to get away from the Mexicans.
What?
Yeah.
I've not heard that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I like Mexicans. I wish we had more.
It worked hard.
Please.
When they mow your yard,
cheap and hard.
Memphis. Please come to Memphis. No, we cannot be. God.
We're,
giving Trey a heart attack.
Right?
He's thinking, oh, God. Isn't it glad? Good thing there's no SEC involved. No, I wish we had more Mexicans here. I do. I love their culture. I guess so. It's like anything. You got too much of anything.
They can come across the border all they want as long as they pay taxes. I got no problem with it.
I don't care. Well, we had no, you know, the Tennessee-Mexico border has long been ignored.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
There's that little narrow strip of Mexico that follows the Mississippi.
Yeah, it goes
and it comes
right down by Jackson Avenue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They just come up Jackson Avenue. Yeah. Say, they don't know about this one. Come on down. Bring your friends. So, actually, topically enough, you know what the dead guy is?
He's a Mexican.
This is celebrating Cinco de Mayo. This is their Cinco de Mayo beer, the celebration of the dead. Yeah, so that's what the little dead guy is sitting on top. It was originally brewed for, and it's just such a big hit at the Rogue Brew Pub that they started bottling it, and before long, it was like one of their top selling.
What's on his head?
Looks like a Russian.
A little skull cap, a little beanie. Wait, Trace whispers something.
Which one's yours?
Yeah.
We're going to get out.
Okay.
We're going to get out Mike's. There you go. There's only two.
Two will be fine.
You found them. Okay, so we're getting out Mike's beer swarm of our last beer, but there's only one thing that can save the show from just totally crashing and burning. So since he did such a good job last time, we're going to ask Mike to repeat and bring the show's the caliber back up with a little class and a little culture. You ready, Maestro? The Big Foamy Head Interpretive Dance Theater presents Beer Haiku.
Party post-mortem. Too much tequila makes tummy work in reverse. Next time, stick to beer.
Beer haiku.
Beer haiku.
Wonderful.
Oh,
class.
Oh.
I feel a lot more couther now.
Beer haiku.
The show
today
has been saved.
Beer haiku today was written by Brew Bunny. Beer haiku is supported by BeerHaikuDaily.com.
That's right. For all your haiku needs.
I like that one. That was good.
That was good. I was thinking about tequila. We had Thanksgiving yesterday to kind of set when this was. And for some reason, I don't know whether it was the turkey or what, my brother was saying, sure wish I had some tequila. We were real close to like coming over and having to go. I think it's something about the holidays and families that make you just want to drink something that'll get you tore up as rapidly as possible just to endure. So we're drinking now our fourth and final beer, and this is Mike's Imperial Stout, which is now how old? 2 months?
No, I would say probably going on 4.
It's been that long?
Yeah, believe it or not.
Okay.
It's probably 3 in 3 weeks, maybe.
And this, just so you know, I took these bottles out, 2 bottles, and we were sharing amongst ourselves. I put them in the fridge. They haven't been in the refrigerator more than 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So we put a little chill on them. This is an age. It's been cellared for 4 months then. Mm-hmm. And we had some a while back. You took some. Did you come by and get them?
I took a case. I've been drinking it on and off for the last 3 months.
And so have you noticed it maturing and changing
a little
bit? Yeah, I
just took my first sip of this, and I can tell a big difference. I mean,
yeah.
So which cold cave was this kept in?
The cave. The cold cave you're sitting in.
Oh, the recording studio.
Because it is an ale, it doesn't lager necessarily, but it has been. I've tried to keep the temperatures pretty consistent.
Think? It's like rubbing alcohol.
That's what she said.
Coffee flavored rubbing alcohol. Mm.
It's good. No, it's very good. No, it's very good.
What do you think?
No, it's good.
The head on it's really nice.
It has gotten a lot sweeter.
It has.
And originally, you know, when we had it, a month afterwards, it had a little bit of alcohol bite to it. And now it's the head is not, it's dissipating because this is a pretty high alcohol.
Mm-hmm. We don't know
how much, though.
Yeah.
It was an imperial
range about
Russian.
Yeah, it was an imperial. Any idea?
Yeah.
No, it's probably around 10.
I got the recipe off of maltosfalcons.com website. It's a brewery club, homebrew club out in California. And it's the John Courage clone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what it is.
And this is, it's different than it was 4 months ago.
Oh, I agree, big time.
It's a lot sweeter. I'm not getting a burn. Are you smelling it? What are you? You said, Marty, you said you smell alcohol.
I smell the alcohol.
Well, I can't get a whole lot out. Well,
but as somebody who doesn't ever drink beer very often, because I don't, it's actually pretty smooth.
Well, that's because you got five other beers.
Details. I mean, that's...
You're going to be drinking gasoline. And
it's smooth.
Hey, this gas is smooth. It's premium.
Wait till you taste the unleaded.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
switching to diesel.
Stay away from the diesel.
You know you're talking gas stuff, but did you hear what happened behind the Exxon last night?
Who?
The Exxon station down the street. Did you hear what happened behind it last night?
What?
Ethel got pumped.
Oh, there goes that classic culture. Right in the shitter.
We just raised the show with beer haiku. Now we're back in the shitter.
We all have our pinkies extended, enjoying the Imperial Stout. Thank you, Martin, for bringing us back to reality. We're in a basement near Memphis, Tennessee.
But not any basement. Your basement.
Listen, for all our beer dreams and champagne wishes, right? That's because it, Mike, this really has improved a lot. And this is one of those that can continue to sell her. So
yeah.
If you and don't drink it all.
You know what? This was my first all grain that I did.
That's true. And
not an extract.
That's good stuff. Very good. I think it came out good. It's a good finishing beer.
It's pretty beer.
Can you explain to me the aftertaste that I'm tasting?
Is it coffee or malt or what are you getting?
I'm getting a little coffee and malt out of it,
yeah,
for sure.
A little
roasted.
Should. You should. The smoke is there from the roasted malts, mm-hmm, that you used in it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say, Mike, that I'm really impressed.
Thank you.
You're right up there with Rick, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I'm not kidding. That's my first all grain, and I'm just tickled to death that it came out drinkable.
Because
what I was doing out in your group,
I know,
your driveway,
you're like
day,
rolling in the mud.
I had shit
and
everywhere, man. I had shit everywhere, and I go, "This is not going to come out worth a damn."
Well, is this color the normal color for this?
Yeah, for a stout, black.
It's right on.
Well, that's almost like that chocolate.
Yeah, I think this is more of a brown black. It's got the tan head. I mean, it's opaque. You can hold it up. You get just
so instead of being an Ike Turner, this is kind of like a Michael Jackson.
Brown. No, this isn't that light.
This is a Tito light.
This is a Tito.
Tito, okay. Tito color. Okay.
That would be the Jackson
Wesley
family.
Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, Wesley Snipes.
Actually, I'm sorry about the Tito. It's Wesley Snipes.
You think it's closer to Wesley Snipes?
Close your eyes.
I don't know. It's in between Denzel and Wesley.
Yeah. That's probably close.
Huh?
Oh, God.
Black celebrity color rating of stouts.
Well, I want you to know the head on mine is still here, and that's kind of interesting too. That I mean, usually the head from my experience. So, I mean, Dick, your head's all gone, but we understand
that. You're right. You're right though. A high alcohol beer usually the head dissipates, and I'm looking at it. Y'all have more tapered glasses than mine. My head's gone.
Y'all are all wusses because mine's gone all
together. Trey's drank all his. But y'all still getting a little
bit
of preserve.
I've been kind of swirling mine a little bit too, kind of stirring it up.
And not a bad idea too with the stout to get a little aeration in it when you pour it down in there. But it's supposed to go away.
Well, did you mention our show meal here and how it's affecting the taste of the beer?
I haven't had any in a while though. Yeah, really? You're right. Well, no, that's a good point because we our food pairing today is the onion souffle dip, which backed by critical acclaim. This is something my wife made, and I made this one. It's just good.
It is good, man.
Man.
Now, for the fluff piece next
the
time, let's do this.
Fluff piece?
Yeah, fluff piece for the next show, we have to do the onion souffle.
Martin, have another drink.
Okay. Well, the onion souffle...
Hey, I'm as jober's as Sudge. Thank you very much.
Well, we'll enjoy the onion souffle recipe next time then. So that's all I got.
Thank goodness.
I'm spent.
God.
You'd think we were the guys on Dude Night or something like that. And look what happened to them. Yeah. Let that be your guide.
happened to them? Did the Catholic Church
Dude
come
Night,
down
Dude Night is on hiatus while they pursue individual efforts.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like bands, you know, they take off and each of them do their own album or something. So find out more.
Phil's going to be a
Phil's
foodie,
doing his foodie bit. Hog Dogs, they're still around. Gonzo is he's AWOL. We don't know where he is, but maybe we'll find out by next show.
I guarantee you, wherever he is, he's drunk.
Yeah, he is. Mm-hmm. So you can hear more of these podcasts on BeerSafari.com. Yeah. It's a jungle of beer out there. All the podcasts you love and a few that just suck ass.
Hey. Watch that.
It might very well be this one.
We try hard.
We try because we don't have anything else to do.
Okay. Well, what is our ending song going to be?
The ending song. God, you put me on the spot. But glad you did, though. Thank you, Martin. God, how many times have we looked at this and argued about that? Okay. What this is from a CD that was sent to me by a friend of show, Craig, whose address and
guy.
Letter and everything that
He's
I
really a great
completely
guy.
Misplaced.
He sat in. Didn't he sit in on a show with us one time?
He did.
Him and Tom was scary?
Yeah, he did. He sat in on the show with us, and I've got – there you go. I found the email from – yeah, this is, what, 4 or 5 shows back. Craig sat in, said, thanks for the opportunity to quaff some very interesting brews and a pint alongside some very knowledgeable quaffers. Apparently –
he doesn't know us.
He likes using the word quaff because it's like 7 times in here. One of Craig's hobbies is putting together musical compilations on CD that he could share. And he sent us 3 CDs,
wow,
which is very cool. And one of the more kind of creepy as shit one is Songs for My Funeral. he's all ready to go.
He's like a Boy Scout. He's prepared.
He's prepared. He's got the mix CD for when he's dead. So thanks, Craig, for if you'd only heard what he just said. But thanks,
you
Craig.
Say it again? No.
Thanks, Craig, for sending these CDs. And this is a song that Martin picked out from one of them. This is from his mostly guitar supply from Dust Till Dawn, not available in stores near you. This is our lead-out song, Happy Hooker, from Next Door Neighbors in Arkansas, Black Oak, Arkansas. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.
Take care.
Come back and see us.
This boy child was standing on the corner when up walked this woman who looked good all over. I had on my city duds, my one and only suit. This fox picked me out and told me I was cute. I said, you're cute too, without further ado. She said, for $50 I'll make love to you. Well, I knew I'd have to buy a little bit more than the juice. Then she grabbed me and turned me every way but loose. She was a real fine looker, $50 hooker. Oh, night hooker, a happy hooker, with gentle hands that could understand the needs of a lonely man. Oh, all right. I don't usually like to buy it now, but I didn't slow down or pay. Oh, the way she was looking, money just could not ever stand in her way. We went to her place, oh, because we saw it first. There was no amount of money that could measure how much she was worth. It was a real fine looker, $50 hooker, all night hooker, a very happy hooker. Yeah.
though she didn't know me, she could sure as hell understand. The best way I know for the story to end is for me to recommend her to all of my friends. She was a real fine looker.